Today, as we continue our Advent journey, we'll look at the value of everyday conversations. Stay tuned, because here we go. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Tuesday of the third week of Advent. We're going to continue our Advent retreat. So glad you could join me today. On the program in the next 30 minutes, we will pray our St. Andrew Novena, as we'll do throughout the Advent season. We'll also look at the daily Mass readings, and then we'll talk a little bit about the importance of everyday conversations. One of the biggest problems that I think we face in life is downplaying the ordinary, or the difficulty of dealing with the ordinary. If things are too boring or too dull or too monotonous, we tend to just push them off to the side or ignore them. But you know what? These ordinary things, such as conversations, are the way that we get to heaven. It's in the ordinary that we become holy and live the life that God wants us to live. So, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the ordinary and how the ordinary can really become the extraordinary. And Advent is a great time of the year to look at the times that we ignore God's presence in our lives, how we ignore doing what God wants us to do, and look for ways to improve upon that. So that's what we'll do on the program today. I'm recording this a little bit earlier in the day. It's still light outside. I'm recording it early because I'm heading to Monmouth University today in Monmouth County, New Jersey, where I'm going to speak to a group of college students, which is, you know, it's funny. When I think, you know my reputation, I'm known as an authority on overcoming anxiety, mainly because I have always been the most anxious person that you could ever imagine. I've struggled with anxiety and worry from the time I was a young child. And now the Lord is using me to help others to overcome this very difficult affliction. Anxiety is no joke. So I'm best known for my talks about overcoming anxiety. And I make no secret of the fact that I'm a recovering worrier, that I still have that tendency, but with God's help, I can get through it one day at a time and I can feel peace. So I'm going to be sharing some of these messages with the college students of the Catholic Fellowship of Monmouth University. So if you wouldn't mind shooting a prayer my way, I would really appreciate that. Tomorrow we'll be back with our regular schedule. We will do a show tomorrow. We'll do a show on Thursday and Friday. We will do shows all through Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, Thursday, December the 24th, will be the last of our Advent shows. Friday, Christmas Day, I'm going to take the day off. But we'll make sure that we wrap everything up. And then on the following Monday, which is still in the octave of Christmas, we'll continue the Christmas theme. And then maybe after that week, we'll shift back to our regular themes. I hope you'll become a regular listener if you just joined us for the Advent retreat. I really hope you'll become a regular listener of this program. I'm sure glad to have you, and know that there's always a chair for you here at my table. We're going to chat about Jesus every day, Monday through Friday, on Blog Talk Radio. We'll do it for 30 minutes a night. You bring your snack, you bring your beverage, you bring a four-course meal if you want. That's fine with me. Whatever you want. And we will talk about Jesus together. Quick reminder that if you're going to do shopping from Amazon.com, please visit followingthetruth.com and use the Amazon link on the sidebar of my website. And that helps me get a small commission on any purchase you make through Amazon, and it gets you the same prices that you always get. There's absolutely no difference to you. But to me, there's a big difference, because Amazon gives me a little commission because you came into their site through my website. So followingthetruth.com, if you would please bookmark that and keep that in mind throughout the year, you would really help to keep my full-time ministry going. In addition, if you're looking for some coffee, Mystic Monk Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever taste, is available through my website as well. You'll see the link to Mystic Monk Coffee. It's brewed by real monks passionate for fine coffee. They're Carmelite monks. They're based in Wyoming. And man, let me tell you something. They have some great coffee, including the very special, and I just realized I didn't get myself any of this year, the Christmas blend. They do a special Christmas blend every year. So they have a Christmas 2015 blend. And also Jingle Bell Java, which I did get some of. That's one of my favorite seasonal flavors. They have candy cane flavored coffee, which is also excellent. And they have some chocolates as well, both of which I've tried, chocolate-covered espresso beans and chocolate-covered caramels. So if you're looking for some great Christmas gifts, you still have time. Check out the great coffee by Mystic Monk Coffee. And in the process, you support the Carmelite monks in Wyoming, and you support yours truly as well. In addition, a lot of times at the end of the year, gift giving for charities goes down. I could use your help financially if you want to help keep my ministry afloat. Now when it's just about soon to celebrate its fourth year of full-time ministry, if you'd like to keep me afloat, keep this program on the air, you can make a financial donation to Following the Truth, which is the official name of my ministry. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and simply going to the Donate tab. You can become a monthly sponsor, and I really could use some monthly sponsors in order to keep the show going, or you can make a one-time donation. Totally secure, done through PayPal, and very, very, very much appreciated. So I thank you for your consideration there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray now. We'll start with our general prayer. We'll do our St. Andrew Christmas Novena, and then we'll do the daily Mass readings and follow it all up with a reflection on ordinary conversation. Please join me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us another day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give to us each and every day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of our faith. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our cars. Thank you for our health. Thank you for anything else that we may have been given, because we know that everything that comes to us is a gift from you. We're very grateful for all of your generosity. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with any kind of anxiety in their lives. Please help them grow closer to you, and help them to be able to feel the peace that you want them to have. And we ask this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as I do every day, I turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we're going to do our St. Andrew Christmas Novena. Remember the intention, any intention that you have, it is piously believed, not superstitiously believed, that you will receive whatever you ask for. Just do it in good faith. Ask for whatever you truly believe that the Lord would want you to have, and be bold about this. And now we begin. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires. Through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother, Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires. Through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother, Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you for praying with me. Remember, we're going to continue that prayer, that novena, throughout the Advent season, right up until Christmas. And I just appreciate the fact that you're praying it with me. We are going to look at the Mass readings. You may be wondering what the beverage du jour is. I neglected to mention it at the start of the program. We're going old school today. Very, very simple. We are going to just have a glass of nice cold water. Nothing wrong with water. One time I mentioned I'm only having water, and I got grief. I got grief from at least one listener who said, you really shouldn't put down water like that. It's a really good drink. Believe me, that is not my intent. Yes, we all need water. So when I say only water, I just mean it's a little bit, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble now, little bit boring for the drinks that I like to present on this show. But I drink my water every day, especially since I had my kidney stone. That got my attention. I drink lots of water now. But that's the beverage du jour today. I hope you're having a good beverage. Hope you're ready to get started with the show. Hope you're all excited to talk about Jesus. I just want to let you know, if you would be interested in bringing me to your parish to speak, I would love to do that. Just visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and go to the speaking page. You can see a list of all my talks. You'll see some video, and we're going to be soon adding some new video clips of recordings that were made in the very near future. We're going to be doing it, but these clips were made a couple of weeks ago when I was in Louisiana. So I hope to be adding that footage soon to give you a better idea of what my live talks are like. But if you'd like to bring me in, if you have any questions at all, you can either contact me through the website, followingthetruth.com, or you can send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. And again, I thank you for being with me. It is a real pleasure to have you with me on the program. Why don't we get started now? Let's get started with looking at the Mass readings for Tuesday of the third week of Advent. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, "Woe to the city rebellious and polluted, to the tyrannical city. Woe to the city rebellious and she hears no voice, accepts no correction. In the Lord she has not trusted. To her God she has not drawn near. For then I will change and purify the lips of all the peoples, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia and as far as the recesses of the north, they shall bring me offerings. On that day you need not be ashamed of all your deeds, your rebellious actions against me. For then will I remove from your midst the proud braggarts, and you will no longer exalt yourself on my holy mountain. But I will leave as a remnant in your midst a people, humble and lowly, who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouths a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flocks with none to disturb them." Here is what we have in this first reading. Woe to the city rebellious and polluted. She hears no voice, accepts no correction. The Lord she has not trusted. To her God she has not drawn near. This is the case for much of the world today. Many people don't believe in the necessity of having a relationship with the Lord, obeying his commands. It's a problem. But rather than complain about the problem, you and I can do something about that. You and I, because obviously you're a believer, you're listening to this program, you believe in the power and the necessity of a relationship with the Lord. It's up to you and me to let people know the good news of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with them. And of course, we're also reminded in this reading, it points forward to a better time. It points forward to a time where everyone will believe. Well, one day when the Lord comes again in glory, there's not going to be any need of faith, because it's going to be, first of all, the end of the world. And those who are with him in heaven don't need faith because they can see him. We will one day, God willing, see him in heaven. And that God willing is because you and I can still mess that up. So we need to be vigilant. We need to continue to become the best that we can be, to do the best that we can to grow as close to the Lord as possible in this life so that we can live with him forever in the next life. But salvation is definitely promised to all of the poor, to those of us who can't possibly save ourselves, which is all of us. We can't get into heaven by our own doing. Salvation is promised to us, but we need to have the attitude of being poor. And all that means is we acknowledge just how much we need the Lord's help in our lives. We can't start to become arrogant and self-righteous and think that we could do it all by ourselves. And listen, let's not kid ourselves. That could easily happen. Especially as we grow in faith, we could certainly become a little arrogant and start to think that this is all up to us, that we can handle this by ourselves. Well, we can't. The responsorial psalm continues with that theme of the Lord hearing the cry of the poor, and that's the responsorial psalm from Psalm 34. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. The bottom line for us is that the Lord will hear our cries. He's not going to turn a deaf ear to us. The only way that the Lord will not respond, he's going to always hear us, but the only way the Lord's going to not respond is if we come to him in a self-righteous manner. If we think that we get a little too demanding, if we think that we are our own best helpers, that we forget about the need for him, if we think it's all up to us, I could do everything myself. then the Lord isn't going to be quick to respond because he wants us to become dependent on him. So even though you and I have many struggles, many difficulties, many problems in life, and we all have them, the Lord will help us. He will hear our cries. But we also have to remember that we need to cry out to him. And I think sometimes when we become a little too confident in our own abilities, what happens is we forget to ask for help. Please don't forget to ask for help. He will hear. He will answer. The gospel is from Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards he changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." Now, I do want to point something out about this passage because I think it's confusing, and I think it's possible you can misinterpret what Jesus is saying, but if I point out some details, you'll be able to better understand this. This doesn't mean that people who lead sinful lives — remember, the tax collectors were kind of shady individuals back in the Lord's day, as well as prostitutes — it doesn't mean people who disobey the commandments of the Lord are getting into heaven before those who obey them. That is huge. You need to remember that, because this can get misinterpreted. That's not what he's saying, and I'm going to prove it. Here's what happened. In the parable, the man with the two sons came to the first, and he said, "Go out and work in the vineyard today." So he was telling the son to go out in the vineyard and work today. The son said in reply, "I will not." But afterwards, he changed his mind and he went. That doesn't mean that he is just — and I've heard this interpretation and it's wrong, because that's not what Jesus is saying — doesn't mean that he just said one thing and did another. No, it meant that he said he will not. He's not going to do it. How do we know that that was his mindset? Not only because what he said, but because of the fact that St. Matthew tells us that the son changed his mind and went. Therefore, he had his mind made up. He was not going to go. What is this a sign of? This is a sign of repentance and conversion. The son said, "I'm not going to follow my father's command. I'm not going to do it." But something changed in his mind, and he decided, "I was wrong, and I will do it." You see, that's the difference. Now, the other son — he gave the son the same order. The other son said, "Yes, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? Obviously, the second son was saying the right thing, but he didn't do it. When Jesus talks about the tax collectors, the prostitutes getting to heaven before those disciples who seemingly obey the teachings of the Lord, at least obey by going through the motions, those tax collectors and prostitutes that Jesus is talking about are people who reformed their lives. They're not still living a sinful life. So there's got to be a change there. Because if you look at that parable, there was definitely a change in that son who said no, but then changed his mind and decided to say yes. What's the message for us? The message is this. It's never too late for us to amend our ways, to say, "I was wrong. I want to clean up my act. I want to start following the Lord for real." Not just with words, but for real. That's what we're doing during this Advent season, because in a lot of ways, you and I are that first son. No matter how much we try, there are things in our lives that need to be fixed if we expect to really follow the Lord and get to heaven one day. And Advent gives us the time to fix those things. That's what we're doing. We're trying to get closer to the Lord. Getting closer to the Lord means following his commands. It means listening to him. It means doing what he wants. But in order for me to do that, I've got to turn away from those things that are keeping me away from the Lord. So keep that in mind. This is a good message. And it's something that we should really take to heart during this Advent season. Now let's take a look at ordinary conversations. I mentioned this at the beginning of the program from the book that we've been using, Meditations from Advent to Lent. My conversations. Picture to yourself our Lord talking now with this person, now that in the large crowds that press around him after he has finished speaking. The petition today, I beg for the great grace of recognizing the many opportunities which I have today for doing good through my conversations. Recently, a large Midwestern newspaper carried an article featuring the work of a local policeman directing traffic on one of the busy downtown streets. For many years, this man had stood at the same intersection directing tens of thousands of motorists, oftentimes in rain, sleet, and snow, hour after hour. This work certainly would not strike me as a type where one could accomplish much counseling. Yet, strange to say, his patience and kindness had won him literally hosts of friends. Hundreds who drove by each day he knew by name and greeted them. His friends were legion, and the example he gave of patience and friendliness had become a byword in that part of the city. It is something like this which may make me ashamed of myself at times, and deservedly so. How often have I not said to myself, oh, if I were in this or that other kind of work, how much I could do for the Lord, if I had the opportunities of this other person, if my work was of this other type, how much I could do for the kingdom of God. But as it is, let me pause and check through my day. How many times do I have an opportunity to stop and speak with someone who may very much need help? How often the students would like to ask a question, to get some advice, but sister is so busy. Father never seems to keep his office hours. No doubt it's difficult to take time out of a busy schedule to talk to this or that student, to give a word of encouragement or advice, particularly when it seems that they want to see me just as I am on the way to class. But if I exert a little patience, I can at least stop, explain the matter, and make an appointment, which is probably what they were hoping that I would do anyway. Now remember, just as an aside, the authors of this book are both involved in education. So you'll hear this reference to students, but this is something that applies to each of us. It could be our family members, it could be our friends, it could be our fellow students, could be our coworkers, people that are asking for some of our time, but we just happen to be too busy. All right, back to the book. Very often I fail to realize the great potential for good that my everyday conversations affords me. I think about the great opportunities which other people have in their lives and forget completely the many I often fail to use. Most of the time, it's not even a question of a long conference. Perhaps I may recall in my own life that some of the most important advice given to me was in a few sentences. Let me seriously ponder this matter. My sanctification lies in the sanctification of others. My job is to help those around about me and to further God's kingdom in their lives. Let me carefully consider whether or not, during the past week, I have made use of all the chances I have had to influence those about me, to aid them in the attainment of their goal in life, to bring about the kingdom, which I beg to do each time I say the prayer our Lord taught me to say. When I say the Our Father, did I connect those petitions with my work today? Perhaps my prayers today ought to be a series of sincere acts of contrition for the opportunities missed, together with the firm resolution that today, at least I shall use these opportunities to the best of my ability. I may be surprised to find how many come my way when I am alert. So there you go. We are just about out of time. The importance of these little conversations. We can really help to advance the kingdom by making the best use of these conversations. Let's pray for the grace to be able to do that. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Please remember to patronize the sponsors that I mentioned at the start of the show, my Amazon store, my link to Mystic Monk Coffee. You'd get to both of those by going to followingthetruth.com. And also, if you're able to send a donation my way to keep my work active, I would really appreciate that. I plan to be back here tomorrow. I certainly hope you will as well. Tomorrow morning at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I hope you'll join me on the Sunrise Morning Show when I do my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment. Until next time we meet, may God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, Christmas is right around the corner. Let's keep trying to grow closer to the Lord. God bless.